Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
When Ryan's, when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind Around with John Pollock and Waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind Around for Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind Around for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade take the mic.
We are here, a packed edition of Rewind to Raw. For those that do not get the XL version of the show, it was triple XL tonight because we just had Brandon Thurston on to talk about his excellent story, I Will Be Your Greatest Partner, how Vince McMahon's 2022 WWE comeback was anticipated by Endeavor executives. That is up at Post Wrestling right now. Everyone checking that story out today. In addition to that chat, we also went over Stardom's Dream Queendom, a big discussion on William Regal's post about head bumps and a response that Kenny Omega made, and a lot of talent weighing in on that. A very worthwhile discussion, I thought, that we had on that. And do want to make mention that for those that are members of the Post Wrestling Cafe, not only do you get the XL edition, you can join us live every Monday night for Rewind to Raw, but up early for our cafe members, a chat I had today with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, going over the year in review of 2025, covering a lot of the major stories from this year, from the death of Hulk Hogan, the introduction of Big Data Plus Panel, the year that AEW had, a very interesting one, the juggernaut year of CMLL, and the pending retirement of Hiroshi Tanahashi this weekend. So almost 40 minutes with myself and Dave Meltzer. That is up. We will be putting it out later this week. Maybe next year we'll put it out for everybody.
Oh, I got to wait that long?
Yeah, it's going to be a wait, okay? That's us directing everyone to the funnel. The cafe funnel.
Excellent job, John. Thank you very much to you, to Brandon, to Neil Flanagan, everybody with their hard work on the site today.
If I do say so, and I really played a small part today, I thought one of our stronger days on the site. From Brandon's reporting, we had Karen with her Dream Queendom review. Neil was on fire today. We got an interview up today. We tested the limits of our server. It's always a good day for traffic when we've got to get on our group chat on a I was going to say Signal backwards.
Not Lingus. But
it was not on Lingus. but yes, we pushed the limits of our new server. So
shout out the Postmaster Robert Brocky, also being on standby, helping us.
He's the best
today,
because anytime he gets a message from, it's never good. When we message him, it's never to say, hey, just want to tell you the site's running great. It's only problems that we bring to him. So He's a very patient man.
High traffic day for us at postwrestling.com.
There you go, everybody. So for the week ahead, the schedule is pretty much, it's fairly straightforward. Poison Rana is going to be with you Tuesday night for the final NXT of the year. And then Wednesday, we will be doing a Pollock and Thurston at 1 Eastern. We're going to be talking about Brandon's report that went up today, as well as some of the big stories of the year, and looking ahead as well. Thursday, Wei and I are going to be doing a afternoon Rewind to Dynamite at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And that same day, we'll be putting out Book Club for our Double Double and Espresso members, with Neil and I chatting The Last Heart Beating by Natty Neidhart. And then Rewind to SmackDown Friday night, Collision Course Saturday, and then Sunday is Wrestle Kingdom 20.
Yeah. You will get a Wrestle Kingdom 20 review, either from John and myself or Karen and Bruce. We're doing double reviews this year because we felt this was a show that was big enough to warrant four sets of opinions. And Karen and Bruce will be out on the free feed. John and I will have our reactions on the Post Wrestling Cafe at some point.
Let's move to Raw. They announced a sellout tonight. The WrestleTix number was 12,696, which is a 19% increase from when they ran this building in September for SmackDown. So that was a positive in the marketplace. On the show, they announced 13,611, with Joe Tessitore mentioning it is the 58th sellout of the year for WWE. So take a bow, Orlando. Tessitore and Wade Barrett also confirming previous reports. They will be moving to SmackDown for the next cycle. Michael Cole and Corey Graves back to Raw beginning next week in Brooklyn. So we get the, this is the college football swap for Joe Tessitore.
Gotcha. Okay. I guess my question is, why not just permanently move Tessitore to the show that he could do?
I don't know what his non-college football schedule is. I don't know if they just want him on Fridays or if he has other commitments on Mondays.
It's not like it really matters, because I think like these voices seem so interchangeable anyway. Nobody like has that much of a defined, I think a commentary style, but it does, do something to maybe establish the sort of individuality of either brand, if they cared about such a thing, which
they don't.
Maybe they don't. Yeah.
They don't. The Vision starts to show. They're met with a chance of CM Punk and OTC, and Heyman calls them all future WrestleMania main eventers, even Austin Theory, who is now the newest member of The Vision. He was indoctrinated on Monday, and he has been given the microphone for his big promo, only to be cut off by CM Punk. So didn't have too much faith in him.
I wondered if this was intentional, or if it was just that like the CM Punk chants were so loud that they might have just decided to hit the music early.
I doubt it.
Well, this is really strange, and because this was his big, it should have been his big spotlight.
Yeah, Heyman sets this up like, this is your big moment. Here's the microphone. And
all Theory talked about was, he's like, I got a lot of things I want to talk about. First of all, I want to talk about Braun Breaker. And that was it. Like, barely got a word out about Braun Breaker, and then the music cut him off. So you're left with, like, pretty much no real changed impression about
what
Austin
if we get
Theory.
A digital exclusive tomorrow of him backstage and a, like, 20-minute video file.
Yeah, he'll be on the Netflix commercial break cutting his promo, maybe.
So Punk comes out and said, I'm not here to listen to Austin Theory. So apparently not. But future main eventer of WrestleMania. He comes down. He wants to look Braun straight in the eye before putting him to sleep and asks the other Vision members to head to the floor. So they do. Breaker, though, gets to cut the promo first. He's tired of CM Punk. And I'm tired of hearing I'm the future because I'm the now. And dares Punk to find anyone in the back like me or that's more of a dog than me. And everything that I've done my whole life has been under a microscope. I had to live up to a higher standard than you could imagine. And you don't respect me? You don't think I paid my dues because I wasn't on the indies? Which I don't think Punk has ever said once, but apparently that's the story here. And he says,
No. When CM Punk was on the indies, I don't think Braun Breaker was even, like, how old? He would have been in, what, second grade, if that?
I don't think Braun was watching him in IWA Mid-South.
Yeah, how old was Braun Breaker during the Chris Hero CM Punk feud?
Can you imagine, like, Rick going out to, like, high spots and getting him tapes of Punk and Ian Rotten?
Maybe, yes.
Says, I was out on the field with Lamar Jackson, and I'm willing to die for that championship, and I know you are too, Punk, so I'll let you. Because I'm putting you into the ground next week. So we got a new stipulation for Brooklyn. Punk gets his retort, says, I know you're ready, but I'm not ready. And puts down the title and tells him to pick it up because it's a lot heavier than you think. And not just literally. Thank you, Punk. I think we got the meaning here. He said, one day I will be beat, but it's not next week and it's not going to be by you. And that's how the segment ended. This was our last big build-up for next Monday. And we've had a whole month to promote this match. How would you say, how effective has this been? It's to me, it has been Braun Breaker's coming out period for his promos that I think have been real good, especially the first one he had, like right after the title match was announced, where he just, threw down the mic and walked off and went to the back. I thought that was his high point here. But how would you assess the build and interest for next week's main event?
I think for essentially like a TV special match rather than like a significant pay-per-view main event, I feel like they've done relatively well. I feel like a lot of us probably thought Breakker versus Punk could have been a destination even for, well, at the very least Rumble, if not even a WrestleMania. So maybe in some ways, not the potential that they could reach. And, you know, like they could still do a rematch, of course. But for this like first chapter of their meetings, I think they've done pretty well. And I think for me, that's been highlighted by Braun Breaker's performances on the microphone. You mentioned that one from 2 weeks ago that I thought was very strong and very well received. And I think at that point, surprising for a lot of us that might not have seen him speak like this before. But I actually thought tonight was his best performance on the microphone.
Yeah, this was very good.
I thought like he carried a confidence and a smoothness and a natural speaking ability that I felt was better than maybe the last two weeks that we saw him. And at no point did I feel like he was maybe over the top cringeworthy that I like maybe in some prior instances. Some of the verbiage, like, you know, can you find a dog bigger than me? Like these are never things I can anticipate a regular human being saying, but I thought he delivered it in a style that like actually sounded pretty cool, you know? So I thought he sounded great here, and CM Punk came back with a wonderful CM Punk level of retort, meaning very strong. Very, this was just a great, like, pure pro wrestling go home promo segment between two people. And again, CM Punk, we know he's really among the best, but it's Braun Breaker being able to at least step up to a competitive level with Punk on the microphone that I think really, to me, turned my head here.
Yeah, this was both CM Punk hasn't slept in a week and also has spent that time in a tanning bed. If he's seen any bed at all.
Yes. Yeah.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Jackie Redmond spoke with Raquel Rodriguez backstage, and Liv Morgan comes in, and we get the mention that Dominic is going to be out for a little bit and wishes Raquel luck. Raquel tells Liv, "I'm doing this alone tonight." And then Perez walks in and they're all just like tripping over one another. And then finally they state that last week it's water under the bridge and they wish Raquel good luck. She says, "I don't need luck tonight," and she walks off. So as we will get to in the match, she wards off their help and then ended up not winning the title tonight.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I was curious to see how they would address Dom's injury. They pretty much said he's out indefinitely, right?
Yeah. Tessitore said it's the shoulder. It happened at AAA last week and he's out indefinitely. So, yeah, this Judgment Day is... they are semi-cursed. Yeah,
they are cursed, but at the same time, this has always been a group that's been able to roll with like whatever injury that they've been dealt, whether it be
because Dom and JD are out now.
Well, I was going to say Rhea Ripley, like way back, if you remember, with the shoulder, they somehow managed to like turn that into something compelling with Liv Morgan's ascent. Liv Morgan was out. Still, they managed to do something interesting with Roxanne Perez. Now with Dominic Mysterio out, he's not necessarily as integral to like this combination, but like of the three of them, but he was still certainly integral to something. It just means that they'll have to kind of delay and pick up the pieces some other way. The question now is if Dom is ready in time for even a WrestleMania. We don't know the extent of the shoulder injury, right? Because I would have imagined that this would have peaked for a WrestleMania program.
He's hoping for a Penta injury, not a Liv Morgan injury.
That is right.
Shoulder.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Stephanie Vaquer, Nikki Bella, and Raquel Rodriguez. This match went 17 minutes. They went through two commercial breaks. Stephanie Vaquer has, like, her matches are all designed around the Devil's Kiss. Like, that is her 619 that the whole match is structured around. And this crowd, it's all they want to see out of this woman is to smash another woman's face into the mat in a semi-sexually suggestive way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. While they have Booker T orgasming in their head.
I mean, it really is her spin and Rooney, but yeah, a bit more sexual than that.
A little bit. So, Nikki applies the STF, and this poor woman just gets drowned out with thank you, Cena chants.
Yeah, she does the STF, and okay, she did this like in a prior match, and
this used to be her move. Like, well, she did this.
The logic is that this was actually her finisher at one point, and of course, it was her finisher back then because she was linked to John Cena. Now that she's no longer linked to John Cena, still somehow chooses to do the move. As a heel, it kind of makes sense, perhaps. Like, clearly she anticipated the chance because she was chanting back at the crowd.
She was yelling at the crowd.
Don't thank him. Thank me. No, thank me. Like, so as a way to...
I just was amazed. Like, I wouldn't have thought that this would have elicited a chant. Like, just
what?
The STF.
STF.
I didn't think, like, that would be a spot. Like, it just... It wasn't a big part of the match, and it was so quick that they all started chanting this. And I guess it only takes a few, and it takes off.
It's
but
the fact that it's her ex-fiance.
The key will be if she continues with this, because it draws a reaction, so maybe she just runs with this now, and
she's
this is a
spot.
She's
broken the seal. Like, she should continue to lean into, like, the Cena mannerisms. Why not?
Well, Raquel then puts her into a leg lock in a counter, and Vicaire hits a Devil's Kiss with both of them attached. And then... After we get the John Cena tribute, then the other retiree this week, Stephanie Vicaire, delivers two dragon screws to honor Hiroshi Tanahashi.
I wonder if that one was the case.
Yes.
Maybe.
We got a Tower of Doom spot, and then this tilt-a-whirl is blocked by Raquel into a small package by Vicaire. Very nice transition. Raquel tries for a double Tejana bomb, but only hits it to Nikki, and as Nikki is out from the Tejana bomb, Vicaire sends Raquel to the floor, taking the pin on Nikki, 17 minutes and 3 seconds. I didn't know how this match was really going to gel. Nikki has certainly had her struggles, but I thought for a 17-minute match involving these three, I would say this exceeded what I expected this to be.
It totally exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was a very strong match, and I think
I thought Raquel really worked well in this match. Like, nobody dragged this down. Like, this was they had their roles down. There weren't any like screw ups or anything like that. The length to me was not a match that dragged. Like, I was pretty happy with like the performance all three had.
I think all three deserve a ton of credit. I thought you had some pretty good timing and coordination from all three. There were well laid out three-way spots here. And even the Tower of Doom was given a pretty unique like sunset bomb entry. So this wasn't just like a standard, you know, like template type of match with template spots. In fact, I thought... Like, I continue, maybe I'm on an island here, but I continue to be somewhat impressed by, like, Nikki's ability to adapt to a modern style. And that's not always the case. She's had weak performances, but tonight I thought was a pretty strong one from her. Like, I continue to remind myself that she's from a way different era. And, you know, like, this
and,
is now...
And she, herself, like, we were talking about her earlier, she also had, like, neck surgery. Like, this is... Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. a real serious injury.
Not to mention motherhood, which like does a number on a person's body. So, like, and that coupled with the style difference from the Divas era and the layoff. I mean, I think she actually should be committed quite a bit. But to me, it was also Raquel that shone the brightest here. I thought she had several impressive feats of strength. Was like positioned really well as just the power base for the other two to work off of. And I thought she was very strong in this role. Again, exceeded my expectations. I would love to see them do more like three-way matches in this division like this.
And this should naturally set up like Raquel and Vicaire coming out of this. Like they protected Raquel, and I think they could go to that title match next. Redman interviews Gunther, and he gets confronted by R-Truth. We're getting what we hoped for. Calls him a piece of shit. Whispers shit into his ear, and he is not a good person. So Gunther laughs, and we'll see him in the ring. So this was about the buildup we expected this match to get, and it would lead to our 3-minute destruction of Ron.
And the closest we've gotten to Ron Killings in quite some time.
Yeah, for 1 week he got to be Ron Killings. This was hidden in the new contract. He's like, I get one match per year as Ron Killings.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And then I'll go back to R-Truth. I'll do whatever you want. Kabuki Warriors come out to cut a promo, and Asuka brags about beating Rhea last week. Kairi says Io should have never upset her, and then Rhea and Io will pay for their disrespect that they showed last week. So out come Ripley and Io. They charge the ring. Io gets her injured back sent into the desk. So that will probably be a big focus of their match next week. She's sent into the timekeeper's area. And as they set up for the insane elbow to Rhea, Sky makes her return and Zayn avoids the riptide and they are cleared out of the ring as our, we kind of got angles to set up all our title matches for next week in Brooklyn. And this was the women's tag title setup.
Yeah, they would get a segment later on that I thought was a bit more effective than this one. To me, I mean, I applaud them for giving mic time to Asuka and Kairi here without the aid of like a, you know, a native English speaker. But I just didn't think tonight's landed very well. It just sounded like, you know, a lot of like typical Asuka rambling and screaming that to me lacked any real purpose or direction other than to just like get beaten up here by the end.
Rey Mysterio met with Punk and Punk is here to say, I've got your back with the Vision. But Rey says, I'm good. You've got to get ready for your title match next week. And I've also got a favor called in. So I'm covered for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
How did that work out for him? I guess he was a little late on his help. It did cost him the match. Logan out there. But he did have
arenas.
Some backup. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that. Gunther and R-Truth, short, but all it needed to be. Truth got in a scissor kick, or tried for a scissor kick, and then got chopped and chopped. Got onto his back. This crowd, they just wanted to see this guy choke out Gunther. I was like, God bless this Orlando crowd. The suspension of disbelief is, you know, maybe Kyle Fletcher should incorporate more sleeper holds. Got big
maybe
pop.
Maybe he should, yeah.
So, anyway, Truth gets knocked off the back, booted by Gunther. Power bombs him, elbows, and then the sleeper. You realize in 2026, Gunther's sleeper is going to be one of the most over maneuvers in wrestling next year.
Only next to the one with somebody putting somebody's opponent's head in between their legs and smashing it.
It's going to be a 1-2 finish for next year. But this was the King's Kiss. 3 minutes, 26 seconds. Truth did not smile on the way out.
Yeah. So, I mean, yes, this was maybe all it needed to be. I felt it was maybe about time. And like since we've had the Cena match where we needed to kind of refresh people on like Gunther's in-ring sort of like appeal, like those chops I thought really came across in this match. But I actually wanted way more here of a beatdown. Like I wanted him to choke out R-Truth beyond the bell, choke him out unconscious so that he just, you know, forgets both of his identities. And
you're not going to see 2026, Ron.
Yeah. How
are they doing with Gunther's keep busy period where, and given the finish of the tag title match tonight, like how far do you think Gunther and AJ is from like, is that, is that the direction? Like, we didn't get any tease of that tonight after the last few weeks.
Well, I mean, AJ did drop the tag titles, which kind of opens the path for him to at least, like, contend for something, right? I am still speculating that Gunther could be a favorite for the Rumble, that would take him out of a match for the Rumble. What else we got? Saturday night's main event, right? The week prior?
Which is coming up quick. Like, that's in 3 weeks.
So I could see it for that.
Yeah. I mean, like if you were going to do like the career deal, like that certainly could be a reason if you wanted to keep Gunther out of the Rumble. But like those would be the options.
It feels so early though
I just don't know why you would do Gunther and AJ unless it was like the career deal now that you've established it and we've also established like they've made it very clear on air that this is AJ's he's retiring in the new year. But we will see once they got the tag title off of him. I felt like that's probably Gunther's program because that's the only thing they've teased for him.
It also doesn't necessarily mean this will be the only AJ Gunther match you get. He could lose to him, and then it just makes Gunther that much of a bigger mountain for him to climb later on in the year.
Hello, hello, hello. Davey Portman here from Poison Rana. We cover NXT every Tuesday night on the Post Wrestling feed in a show we call Up Next. But we do so much more. Follow Poison Rana Pod on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts for our live Sunday show, plus our Patreon with movie reviews, retro wrestling reviews, and more. Find out everything at poisonrana.ca.
The Usos are in the locker room. Jay's all down because nothing's been going right for him. Jimmy was like the greatest brother in the world here. Just gave Jay a pep talk. I mean, this was like this is like way right before the 3-hour rewind to SmackDowns, okay? When I've got to
go live with you. That's going to be me on Friday night, right before we start. Okay. You're Jimmy. I'm Jay.
Yes.
Another promo for Obafemi.
I thought this was great, by the way. Like,
I mean, this a lot. Yeah.
To me, like, Jay's self-confidence issue is still, to me, it's his greatest attribute. I think it's the vulnerability that gives him a bit of character depth that as a babyface. And I think Jimmy continues to be really outstanding in these sort of segments. Of the two, I think he's the better actor, for sure. And he shines brightest in these sort of moments.
So we had the Obafemi promo, pretty much the same one we saw on SmackDown. So I think the only question is are they taking the belt off of this guy at New Year's Evil next week? Or are they just going to keep the belt on this guy and bring him up? They don't want to beat him on the way up.
I think he should be one of those like Asuka types that just... Did Asuka actually drop the belt? Remind me. Like, didn't she keep a streak going?
Yeah. She vacated it.
Like, yeah, and then Ember Moon, right? So I think Obafemi should be one of those.
Yeah, I could see their argument that they don't want to beat him, but certainly makes you wonder. Like, I think that's a really interesting match next week, like with Leon Slater. I think that would be very telling.
I don't see Leon Slater being the one, but I mean, yeah, crazier things have been booked.
Mm-hmm. Well, that takes us to the segment with Javon Evans. He meets with AJ and Dragon Lee, and they're like, "What are you doing here?" He's like, "Oh, I'm here to speak to Adam Pearce." And I guess that's all he was here to do, because we never saw him meet with Adam Pearce. But he's here. Styles said that you and Leon Slater took us to the limit. And then Los Americanos all walk in. We also got the Creeds and Ivy Nile in the background. Don't know if you were paying too close attention, but we got Brutus and Julius on the last Raw of the year.
Was that meant to be anything?
They did nothing. Like, they were not arguing. They were not doing anything. I almost wondered if they were even meant to be there. But they were. So, Javon says he is not running from them, and the six all have a standoff. Kaiser does his whole promo in Spanish. This guy's amazing.
Amazing. Like,
what?
Amazing.
This career, I thought this was just going to be death for this guy, and it's revived him. Like, it saved him from potentially being cut. Like, seriously.
It's at the point now where if Chad Gable came back as El Grande Americano, I would be very disappointed.
Like, he doesn't need to be El Grande Americano. Kaiser needs to be El Grande Americano.
Yeah, and I would also just suggest Kaiser, I think, is a much better, more interesting, like, I would argue, authentic.
The guy learned Spanish. Like, he did this whole thing.
I question how much, do we know that he just picked up Spanish? Like, this suggests to me a high level of Spanish-speaking ability even prior to adopting this gimmick. In fact, maybe part of the reason why he was given the gimmick in the first place. He sounds way too fluent to have just picked it up in, like, the past few months.
Well, this guy's tremendous. Evans and AJ at the end of this are like, "I have no idea what he said." And Dragon Lee is like, "I'll explain." This was actually the funniest thing Dragon Lee's ever said.
It was great to finally give Dragon Lee a chance to speak a bit more. And I mean, this was just so surreal to me, like seeing Ludwig Kaiser, a German pretending to be a luchador speaking fluent Spanish, only speaking Spanish in a Raw segment
with
Javon Evans. You couldn't have predicted it in January last year.
Yeah, I don't know what this says overall about the evolution of NXT UK, but you know, they have found new origins. For if I had told you that takeover in Chicago, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, I was like, let me give you a glimpse into the future. Okay, they're going to be Rayo and Bravo. They're going to be background characters to Ludwig Kaiser under a mask.
Kaiser was technically NXT UK too, was he not?
He was. Yes,
he was. Yeah.
Rey Mysterio, Austin Theory. So Logan Paul was sent out by Paul Heyman to be in his corner. And so Paul is out there. Theory avoids a 619 early and then catches a seated senton and drops Rey on the edge of the apron. Rey makes his comeback after the break, including Theory spinning him off his shoulders into this amazing DDT counter. This was so slick. It looked amazing. And then he hits the 619, and that prompts Logan to attack Rey. DQ is called at 729, and there for backup for Rey is Penta, who is back. And they hit a 619 to Logan. They clear the ring. Penta's back, and he was physical here, so it looks like he's good to go, or else they probably would not have him doing anything physical.
Yeah, interesting. Just a week after that AAA show that he was supposed to headline. So I guess very touch and go with this injury. Very good reaction for Penta's return. But man, this was like Theory's like first singles match against Rey Mysterio, no less. And I thought he showed some glimpses of maybe a difference in aggression. But it certainly wasn't enough for me to think differently about Austin Theory, or to maybe at least on first glance be able to, in my mind, justify Austin Theory in this high profile, very coveted role in the Vision as their sort of like, what, Randy Orton, you know?
Right now he's Paul Roma in The Horseman.
Oh, it's just I continue to question this idea, and to not even give him a win in this first match. I mean, he was about to eat a 619 before Logan Paul interfered and basically threw the match out just to save Austin Theory from eating a pin. I thought this was really terrible booking for him.
You imagine Carmelo Hayes in this role, or just like any number of guys that I think would. But I don't know. Like, it's one commonality between Vince and now Paul Levesque that, you know, they see something in Austin Theory that he has gotten many more chances than others have. Yeah. And this to me is kind of the make or break. Like, he's either going to succeed in this group or not. But I don't know how many opportunities there will be. Yeah, and he's a young guy. But at this point, like, we have been exposed to Austin Theory for years. He was first called up in 2020. Like, that was 6 years ago, got sent back to NXT, came back up. Like,
yeah, gave him a new entrance here, new lighting, new music. I'm sure Paul Levesque was directing every single spot that this person was supposed to stand and pose. So that's, you know, they're taking him very seriously. But will the audience take to it? We'll see.
Then we had the taped video package with Ripley and Io just cutting a promo on Asuka, that she is the disrespectful one, and that Rhea is going to end her next week, and they will teach them respect when we win the tag titles.
Yeah, I thought this one came across a bit better than the last one.
During the commercial, Byron Saxton interviewed the guys that are designated now for the commercial segments every week, The New Day and Grayson Waller, and they literally had nothing to say, just that if the Usos win the tag belts tonight, then the division has gone straight to hell, because we are objectively the greatest team of all time. They are objectively one of the most mishandled acts in a long time. The Cena heel turn is going to get a lot of focus at the end of the year. The New Day's turn has just, they are nothing at this point on this show. Nothing.
Yeah. Like, it's at the point now where, man, I really would wonder if, like, either of them, Woods and Kofi, like, Would they on the chopping block? You know, like, I imagine they don't command very like cheap salaries. If you're Mark Shapiro, are you looking at that number and thinking, what are we getting out of this? You know,
there would be an outrage if they cut these guys. But
oh, of course there would be. And maybe that's what's protecting them. But like, shouldn't that give you enough reason to push them and actually put them in like interesting feuds?
I don't know. But to me, this heel turn is done, or like, they need a refresh bad. Like, bad.
Is there even interest in seeing them as a babyface team again?
It's tough, man. Like, I think if they did the reunion with Big E in a meaningful way, like, maybe that could work. But, man, it was like people were so high on this turn, and they were a big part at the beginning of the year, and they've just floundered into just nothingness. Like, they're lower now than they were at their babyface lowest, when they were just, parts of the tag division, and just, you know, they've had their highs and lows, but this is a real low, I feel, for the New Day in this decade. Maxine comes out and she asks if everyone had a good holiday. I did, because of all of you. And she says how Becky had no choice but to tap last week. So Becky comes out to the ring and yells at Maxine, says, "The only thing I ever tapped out to was living here in Orlando." And Maxine threatens to break her ankle if she enters. And then Becky struggles to try and compliment her, but says, "You have gotten a little bit better and you got away with stealing a title." But Maxine says, "No, I earned this title." And Becky lists off all her accomplishments, "And I always find a way to win." And I don't know. By the end of this, I felt, you know what? I feel Maxine could actually be a heel in this character, and Becky would be a much better babyface at times. But that was my only thought at the end of this whole thing. But we get the match next week.
I think they're giving a good go at like this Maxine, you know, like renewed confidence, like champion type of character. Meanwhile, I think Becky is actually doing incredible work as this like very comedic and, yes, very likable heel, especially if you've been following some of her work online, which I think has been just outstanding. Like, her vlogs are so seriously entertaining. But she, I mean, it requires this sort of like heelish character in order for her to be that entertaining. And I think at some point she'll be able to adopt it into a babyface manner, much in the way that like a Toni Storm has been able to. Mm-hmm. But for now, I think we're still enjoying the heel run. And I think they're really trying with Maxine, you know. It's not.
Do you see Becky winning this belt back next week?
I do.
Or do they? Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
I could too. I do feel at some point we're getting that Becky AJ Lee match. It just makes sense. Like you would want the title part of that. But it's weird. Yep. Like AJ is kind of just like, you know, she's just done the two matches so far. Like it's been very sporadic.
I imagine she'll be back for the Rumble. Probably, like, you know, what do we get her for?
The Rumble, and remember, Elimination Chamber is in Chicago as well.
Okay, so maybe that as well.
And you would think AJ, they would want her for like Mania season. Like I could see her doing like, mm-hmm. you know, the return. She does the Rumble, and then maybe something big in Chicago, and that pivots you to Mania.
Maxine has gained something certainly from this program, but I think her ultimate destination is something with Natalia, which maybe we'll see as soon as next week.
Book club this Thursday. We'll be going through the history of Natty Neidhart. December on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we have two editions of Rewind Away set for you, including a patron's pick where you have voted for us to review the Survivor Series from 1991, Hulk Hogan's Gravest Challenge. Then it's over to 2002 and a review of the very first WWE draft involving Raw and SmackDown as they kick off the brand extension. David Bitsenspan is going to join me as we review Video Killed the Radio Star, a documentary on Bubba the Love Sponge, and the sex tape involving Hulk Hogan. Plus, we will have reviews of TNA Final Resolution, New Japan's World Tag League Final, Collision Course every single week, and XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Sign up now at postwrestlingcafe.com. Adam Pearce meets with Trick Williams, who just gives him his card. So that was that. Bayley and Lyra come in. They want the next tag title shots. Bayley calls him an idiot. Lyra doesn't. And that was our progression of Bayley and Lyra this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. AJ Styles and Dragon Lee against the Usos for the world tag titles to close the show. So Dragon Lee, man, this guy struggled to get up Jay for a Liger bomb. This was a little frightening. Jimmy sends Lee into the steps and then he's clearing the desk and Styles hits a forearm off the steps. Jay hits a dive and they're working on Dragon Lee when he connects with the double stomp, tagging AJ, who comes in, and then they escalated things. Jay hits a spear. Jimmy hits the Uso splash and AJ kicks out right at the end, and man, this crowd explodes for this near fall, and they could not go wrong from this point on. Lee hits this incredible somersault dive through the ropes and onto the desk through Jimmy. Jay gets hit with the Pele kick and a Styles clash, which Jay kicks out from. So you can imagine how the crowd reacted to that. Lee and AJ tried their double stomp Styles clash combo, but it's interrupted by Jimmy's super kick to Dragon Lee. Then the phenomenal forearm is met with a double super kick. They take out Lee with the same and then follow with the 1D as Jay pins Dragon Lee and the Usos win the tag titles in 18 minutes and 44 seconds. They celebrate in the crowd and plug next week's show. And we ended several minutes early than usual, but really strong main event here to close off the show and getting the tag belts back on the Usos.
Yeah, I thought they... Like Styles and Lee ended their run on a really high note here.
This was a great tag run that the two had. Yeah. It was something I think AJ needed in this period that, mm-hmm. you know, gets him to whatever he's going to go to next, maybe with Gunther. And for Dragon Lee, like you could argue this is the most meaningful usage he has had on the main roster was this miniature tag run that he got for, you know, a month or two.
Very much so. Yeah, I think they did a great job. I mean, like, I feel like their role has been to reinvigorate this tag division on Raw, which I think they've done a pretty decent job of by giving you like pretty hot matches like week to week to be able to look forward to when you really had nothing to look forward to before with inactive champions like the Judgment Day or like even like the New Day. Like they didn't really do that much with it. So I think they did a great job with the champion with the championship. I thought like it helped kind of like give AJ this like late career renaissance as like this in-ring like top level babyface that he can still hold on to and still like deliver a very compelling, you know, sort of like version of. I would like to see these two stick around as a team, you know, AJ Styles and Dragon Lee at the very least, like as like associates, like much like a Brodito that maybe at some point they can just rebuild back together. But I would also like to see a bit more sort of like character interaction between the two to let us know, like, you know, like how much it might suck for their personal relationship. Will they still go out and eat lunch together now that they're no longer tag team champions?
Could you imagine the vignette of Dragon Lee spending Christmas with the Styles?
I need something like that. 100%.
Back to AJ's home for a non-home invasion angle at his house.
Would AJ sit at the table with Rouge and Dralistico? You know, would he be there?
No, they're all outside in ice baths.
Yes.
On Christmas morning.
Just don't ask AJ to sign any AEW memorabilia, okay, while he's there. But, yeah, I wonder what AJ's next move is. I mean, I guess Gunther is his next direction, isn't it?
You would think, based on what has been teased. Like, I think we're going to get a lot. Like, next week's going to be a very news-heavy show where I think you're going to, like, it's going to be a big show regardless, but man, they've got to get Saturday night's main event. They've got to get the Rumble stuff going. Like like January, 23rd is Saturday night's main event. The next weekend is Rumble. So like they've got to get a lot of stuff moving in January.
Breaker and Punk. Can you see a title change?
I certainly can. I don't rule it out. I think the likeliest is that it's probably going to lead to another match, whether it's the Rumble or whether it's later. I think Punk keeps it, but this will be like revisited, whether it's Breaker going into the Rumble or they do a rematch at the Rumble.
Yeah, I certainly don't rule it out either. I mean, I could see them wanting something big for a Netflix show, just to, you know, really like spike things. Mm-hmm. It does set the direction for Seth Rollins, really.
Yeah,
with or without the championship. I mean, Breaker versus Rollins to me feels like it could be compelling. But then you can also do Breaker and Reigns. You could do Breaker and Punk again. I think Breaker to me could be a very viable champion, like heading into Mania. So hard to predict, but I think I'm still sticking with Punk.
And then, as we mentioned, I could really see Becky winning the belt back next week from Maxine, and then the tag titles. I mean, you could switch them. I feel like that whole division, I think the titles are eventually going to get bounced around. You've really like added a lot of teams to that division. I don't see a need to take them off the Kabuki Warriors at this moment, but I think you're going to have a lot of programs involving all those teams that they have introduced now in the mix.
I can certainly at least see one title change next week, if not two. Yeah, so.
Well, the final Raw of 2025, I thought this was a very good episode of Raw. I thought that, you know, the three-way women's match, to me, overperformed. The tag match was very good. You got a great promo segment with Punk and Braun Breaker. You know, they built up next week's show. It feels like a pretty big show that they have promoted. And we've got the Stranger Things tie-in next week as well.
That's correct.
This is the only time in history that I might have to explain some level of pop culture to you next week.
Are you all caught up with Stranger Things?
I have not watched the latest batch, but I'm like three episodes behind.
Okay. Well, we'll see how much they cater towards somebody.
And that's also
going to
be
season.
Right after the finale airs on New Year's Eve. So it's going to
be. Should they advertise spoilers? Will there be spoilers for the latest season of Stranger Things?
I don't know if they're going to be too plot heavy on this show. I fear we're going to get some awful comedy on Monday's show. That would be my guess.
Like, what are some of the tie-ins you could predict?
Like, none.
Who's going to be dressing up as... do they still have Demogorgons?
The Demogorgon, yes.
Who's going to...
Will be Vecna? I don't know. If any of the wrestlers end up in the Upside Down, I'll probably turn the show off.
Oh, look, they did. Look at this poster for Punk and Breaker.
How clever.
Punk is in the
one's upside down. That's hilarious. Man, that's great. So synergy. Good. That's amazing. I had that poster. All right, everybody. We have feedback to get to. So we're signing off here on YouTube. But again, Davey and Braden will be with you on Tuesday night after NXT. Wednesday, Pollock and Thurston live at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Join us on the day of New Year's Eve. And then Wei and I will be back live on the cafe Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern time for Rewind to Dynamite. And then the schedule will be all back to normal after this week.
Yeah, it won't be upside down.
Okay. Goodbye, YouTube.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.